Inflation rate now stands at 8.6%, a 40-year high. Inflation in May rose at a faster pace than in April. That, according to the latest Consumer Price Index. Our buddy Jim Brogan, who you've heard on this this radio station for a long, long time, every weekend. How long's it been, Jim? You've had that weekend show, More Living with Jim Brogan.
Actually, September will be 17 years. It's hard to believe.
17
years. Good
morning,
Bob.
Hey, good morning to you, sir. I appreciate you. Well, what timing?
Isn't that crazy, though?
It is.
Yeah, what timing with the inflation announcement?
Yeah, 8.6. All right, so break this down for us. What does that ultimately mean?
Oh, I think that means a lot of uncertainty and choppiness and volatility. That's where all this is, most of this is coming from. And what the market, we should remember, Bob, that the market is a forward-looking instrument. What might happen in the next 3 to 9 months, for the most part? And the economy, when we look at economic numbers, we're looking in the rearview mirror. So companies through the first part of this year have been very profitable, maybe 4 to 40-year highs of profitability. So the market, I think, is reacting to, okay, well, how is inflation maybe going to affect people's willingness to spend? And then the Fed, you know, the more inflation we have, the more the Fed has telegraphed they're going to, you know, aggressively increase interest rates, which also would be expected to cool off the economy. And we are seeing some signs the economy's cooling off with consumer discretionary spending. So the reality is, I think we're just in a real choppy time, and I think we will be for a while. Volatile markets, unpredictable.
Yeah, well, the Dow, as I'm sure you well know, down right now 710 points. I know you're long range. Your plans are long range looking, but when you see it down 710, you know, what thoughts come to mind?
Well, yes, it is long term, but the short term effect of market volatility is a big part of that, Bob. So we need plans for how we handle things in the short term is critically important, especially when you consider the impact of human psychology and human behavior, investor behavior. If you look at all of the research, investor behavior, our emotions typically lead us to wanting to do the opposite of what we should do. You know, when things are really bad is when we want to sell, and that's when markets are way down. When markets are really, really good and they're way up, that's when we want to buy emotionally. The reality is, in the short term, markets are just very volatile. So I think a couple of keys. One is you should address that kind of stuff before it happens. But it's not too late right now. I mean, the market as of the end of May was down almost 13% this year. Not a huge decline. We're not in bear market territory yet. But we should be looking at, we shouldn't be investing in the stock market for short term results. In other words, if I'm going to buy a car next year, and I need $10,000 to add to my trade, that $10,000 should not be in the stock market because I have no idea where the stock market will be in a year. Now, if I'm, you know, investing for 10 years from now to buy a new house, a little bit more predictable that the market would be up in 10 years. So it's critical that in the short term we're not depending on the stock market so we can ride through ups and downs. And then the second piece of that, Bob, is we need to be extremely, if we want less downside when the markets are inevitably down, we need more diversification. You know, most people don't really look at the diversification in their portfolio. How much are they moving up and down with the stock market? Because it does affect our emotion and our reactions. Plus, if somebody's near retirement, they need retirement income. They can't invest for 20, you know, they need to be thinking about a 20 to 30 year potential lifespan. But they need income now, and so you don't want your income needs to be determined by stock market volatility.
See, I think that's one of the things that Brogan Financial, you guys are excellent at. You're 25 years old thinking about retirement. Okay, we're going to look at these things. If you're 55 thinking about retirement, it's a totally different perspective.
It's completely different. I often say the plan that gets you to retirement is not the plan that will get you through retirement. And the reason for that is because we're no longer earning and making money and saving money. By contrast, we're withdrawing and spending money. And so the timing, we take on a new risk when we retire. And that risk is market timing. We know over a 20 or 30 year retirement, the stock market's, at least historically, has always been the best way to beat inflation over time. The problem is when we're withdrawing from those investments, the timing of when are the good years and when are the bad years and when are the good decades and when are the bad decades can become much more critical, because we're not just saving money, we're withdrawing and spending it. So it's critical.
All right, Jim, I'm about to bestow a huge amount of power to you, okay? We saw today energy prices up 35% compared to a year ago, 50% jump in gas prices year over year, cost of electricity up 12%. I'm handing you full control. What do you do to slow down inflation and get energy costs lower?
Wow, you're giving me the control. I personally, Bob,
yes. Yes.
I would probably err to what the Fed did after World War II, when inflation was 20% and you had huge supply chain bottlenecks like we do now. And also Volcker in the early years of the Reagan administration, coming out of Jimmy Carter era inflation, which is to cut way back on the money supply, quantitative tightening, and then let the market dictate interest rates. When the Fed starts manipulating interest rates, are they going to be able to push the right buttons? They haven't so far. I'm not real confident they will. I feel like they're probably going to overshoot. But if you look at history, when we've been in this kind of a situation before, the Fed's had a little bit different approach. Now, I don't know. I mean, I'm not smarter than the guys at the Fed, but I do listen to some really, really smart people. And seems to me, based on research, that would normalize, I think, the economy quicker. On the oil thing, you know, it's not just a production issue. It's also a refinery issue. The refineries are at full capacity all over the world. So even if you output more oil, you still have a refinery issue with capacity.
Hmm.
So I think curbing demand, you know, the Fed for 13, 14 years since 2007 has had massive government stimulus, both the Fed and Washington, D.C. Congress. And so we've got to get a lot of that money back out of the economy if we're going to get our arms around this issue. So to me, that should be more of the focus than raising interest rates artificially. Now, the Fed is doing some quantitative tightening finally, but I think the answer, at least it has been historically, is to do things a little bit differently than what the Fed's doing. So I guess from the people I listen to, that's what I would say.
Jim, I put you on the spot and you knocked it out of the park, man. So you knocked it out of the park.
Thank you. I don't know. It's a challenge. I think inflation's going to persist for a while.
How likely is a recession?
I think pretty likely. I don't think we're probably in a recession right now. We may be. We'll get the numbers in July. We may actually be in recession now. But I think a recession in the next year and a half to 2 years is probably pretty likely, more than 50%, I'd say, because I think the Fed will overshoot on raising interest rates and it'll swing us back. The pendulum will swing too far back the other way. So I think it's pretty likely. However, that doesn't mean the market is going to crater more than it already has, or maybe, you know, we're seeing a huge market downturn today. Remember, the market is a leading economic indicator. So usually by the time we know we're in recession, the market oftentimes has already hit its bottom and is already recovering. So don't just assume let's say I'm right, Bob, and we do see recession in a year and a half or 2 years. That doesn't mean the market's going to be down in a year and a half or 2 years. The market may hit a bottom now, or it may hit a bottom this fall. Who knows? We may be in recovery in the stock market.
Mm.
So be careful that we don't try to connect the dots of what's happening in the economy in terms of looking in the rearview mirror, because we're looking at data. Data is a rearview mirror exercise, whereas the market is looking out the front windshield. So the windshield versus the rearview mirror.
You know, and to your point, the Dow Jones down right at 700 points right now. The market's still at 31,500 and change. That's not too shabby overall, is it?
No. And as a matter of fact, if you go back to January 1st of last year, the market's about flat. Now, I haven't run the new numbers based on this week, But in other words, from if I go back a little bit further, because of the huge surge we have in stock prices last year, the market is about flat in the last year and 5 months, roughly. So it's not the end of the world. I do see choppiness and volatility on the horizon. So this is a perfect time to assess the diversification in your plan. How much risk are you taking? How are you going to structure retirement income? Do you have safe and stable money set aside that in the short term that are not dependent on stock market? Those types of things.
And you can do that by reaching out to Brogan Financial. You can check on your plans and make sure you got them set up as best as possible. 865-862-6800, broganfinancial.com online.
Thank you, Bob.